بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, the Most High, the One free of all imperfection. I bear witness that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, the Lord of all that exists. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Allah's slave and messenger. May Allah salah and salam be upon him, his family, and all of the noble companions and those who follow in their or on their path until the day of resurrection. Tonight's inshallah first subject will be in continuation to the guidelines which we discussed last night concerning the message and the messengers. And tonight inshallah we will talk about the prophets and the messengers, and first of them is Adam, peace be upon him. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated in his book and told us beautiful stories from the news of his prophets, and he described them as ahsanul qasas, the best of narrations. This description from Allah the Most Great indicates that the stories of the prophets are the most profound, and thus they are the best in benefit to mankind. From the benefits of the narrations about the prophets, the first benefit is, in these stories, the perfection in belief in the prophets takes place. So although we believe in all of the prophets, alaykum as-salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh for everyone who said salam, although we believe in them all in general, however, the detailed belief that stems from their stories and what Allah described them from truthfulness and perfect attributes, the highest of the attributes amongst creation, and their merits and virtues and the favors they have upon mankind, and all of this increases the faith of the believer, raising it to higher levels. Also, from the benefits of their stories is the affirmation of the belief in Allah and in His oneness, as well as sincerity and purity in our actions to Him. And also in their stories, the benefit of belief in the hereafter, and benefiting of the message that they carried, the message of Tawheed and its obligation, and the ugliness of shirk, and that shirk is the cause of destruction in this life and in the hereafter. And in their stories, there are lessons for the believers, so that they take by it and benefit their religion, their deen, in regard to Tawheed and establishing Ubudiyya, worship to Allah, and in the stations of calling to Allah, persevering and being firm on this Dawah, as well as being in the state of comfort and tranquility and firmness as well, learning from their path. Also in the station of truthfulness and sincerity to Allah in all of our deeds and actions, and also seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of that. In their narrations there are lessons, because they were agreeable on one deen and one fundamental principle, and that is calling creation for all that is good and warning them from all that is evil. And the top of good is that they worship their creator alone and the worst of evil is they ascribe partners to him. Also in the narrations of the prophets there are benefits as far as the religious code, the fiqh, the understanding of the deen and legal ways and wisdoms, so much of this that no seeker of knowledge really would like to escape, to let it go without benefiting from it. Also in their stories there is admonition and remembrance. There is lessons about ease after hardships and good consequences in this life and the hereafter, as well as comfort for those who are hurt and admonitions for the believers. So in their stories, their stories are not meant to be just narratives for spending time, entertainment, etc. And what we have to know is that in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had repeated some of their affairs in different chapters in the Quran and in different ways. You can find some in summary and some in details, and some in certain wording and others in different wordings, close or in agreement. Salam. So tonight inshallah ta'ala we will start by the story of Adam, the father of humankind alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always the first and continues to be the first. Nothing is before him, and he continues to do whatever he wishes. In accordance with his wisdom, for he is the all-wise and all-knowledgeable. So when his wisdom, his perfect and most comprehensive wisdom and knowledge and mercy necessitated the creation of Adam, the father of mankind, he, the Most High, informed the angels and said, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. Brother Abdurrahman, inshallah, you'll assist with pasting the text, inshallah, so that we, the brothers and sisters, can follow. Jazakallah, as you accustomed us with this good cooperation, barakallah fiqh. And remember when your Lord Allah said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ, I am going to place mankind generations after generations on earth. They said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءُ. They said, will you place therein those who will make mischief therein and shed blood while we glorify you with praises and thanks and sanctify you? This from them is not an objection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is to the contrary. This is ta'zeem li rabbihim wa ijlal. This is magnification and exaltation of Allah. Or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed them that he will create Adam and what will occur from the disobedience of his offspring. قال الله للملائكة إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. In response, Allah said, I know that which you don't know. because he encompasses with his knowledge everything. Just a second, please. Naam. Naam. Salaam rahmatullah. Naam, naam. Hala hayyak Allah. Allah hayyak. Hala wallah. Zakallah khair. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. So this was a state of magnification to their Lord Allah and exaltation, in the sense that they were thinking that maybe Allah will create a creature that may resemble the manners of those before him. Because Allah in this ayah says, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And the term خَلِيفَة means, I am going to place mankind generations after generations on earth. So this indicates the presence of certain generations, and that mankind, the offspring of Adam, will be the generation that will succeed them. The angels, as the Mufassirin, the scholars of Tafsir, have indicated, or that Allah, the Most High, may have informed them of the creation of Adam and what will occur of his disobedient offsprings. Allah, in response to the exclamation of the angels, said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, meaning, I know that which you don't know, indicating, asserting Allah's encompassing of everything, and what are the benefits of this creation, of this particular creature Adam, that cannot be enumerated. And thus Allah informed them of His perfect knowledge, and that He is to be, subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognized of His vast knowledge and wisdom, part of which is that He does not create anything in vain and without a purpose. Then He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, detailed to them as of the creation of Adam. So He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, created him with both of his hands, the noble hands, and this is an honor for Adam above all creatures. Allah grasped from the earth, from the soil, its rough and smooth soil, its good and its bad. And so it was first a turab. Turab meaning soil. Then Allah put on it the water and it became clay. Then after that, and after some time, this clay turned into hama, masnoon, dried, sounding clay. Then Allah made it, fashioned it, and it became like a clay of potter that has sound to it. In all of these stages, Adam was a body without a soul. After the perfection of his creation, Allah breathed in him the soul, and this soul is created. It's not the soul of Allah Himself. So this body turns to life with bone and flesh and nerves and a soul to become the reality of man we know. And Allah prepared him as such. And Allah perfected upon him from His favor and taught him the names of everything. And this perfect knowledge necessitates perfection, complete perfection, and also complete morality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the angels the perfection of this creature, so He said, as in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 31, and He taught Adam all the names of everything, then He showed them to the angels. So Allah showed these names to the angels and said, tell me the names of these if you are truthful. قال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين. This is in the context of their first wording, which we went over, which was, you know, that the context of their wording, that, you know, leaving His creation could be better. This is what, as it appeared to them in the first place, that was their thinking. So the angels were unable. Just a second, please. طيب ان شاء الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Sorry for these disruptions, but there are things that are needed to be answered sometimes. So the malaika, the angels, were unable to know of these names which Allah tested them with, and they confessed to that. قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. The angels said, glory be to you, we have no knowledge except what you have taught us. Verily it is you, Allah, the all knower, the all wise. قال الله, Allah said then, قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم. He said, O Adam, inform them of their names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing His perfection of Adam. Inform them of their names. And when He had informed them of their names, He said, did I not tell you that I know the unseen in the heavens and the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you have been concealing. So the angels now were able to witness from the perfection of this creature and his knowledge that which they didn't or was not in their thought. And they knew in this way, in details and in witnessing, the perfection of Allah's wisdom, and therefore they magnified Adam, the utmost magnification of the creation. فأراد الله أن يظهر هذا التعظيم. Allah wanted to manifest this magnification and the respect to Adam from the angels. So he ordered the angels to prostrate themselves before Adam. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And remember when we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam, and they prostrated except Iblis, Satan, he refused and was proud and was one of the disbelievers, the disobedient to Allah. So to prostrate before Adam out of respect and out of magnification, and in that this is worship to their Creator by being obedient to Allah out of love and magnification and humbleness. So all of them prostrated, and Iblis was amongst them, and the order was also addressing him, but he was from a different type. He was from the jinn, created from fire, and he was concealing disbelief in Allah and envy for this man whom Allah had preferred with this perfection. So his disdainfulness and arrogance made him disobey the command of Allah, and he chose not to prostrate to Adam, before Adam, out of this arrogance. Allah spoke about this in Surah Al-Kahf, which is Surah 18, verse 50. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. And when we have said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam, so they did prostrate themselves, except Iblis, he was from the jinn, فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ, disobeyed the command of his Lord. Intentionally and out of arrogance. He didn't only disdain from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command, but he objected. And he objected and also questioned the wisdom of Allah when he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. I am better than him, for you have created me from fire and you have created him from clay. And that's why anyone who objects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his command, he has this share of Iblis, of Iblis being his leader, because this was the stand of Iblis, of Satan, with respect to the command of Allah. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يا إبليس ما منعك أن تسجد لما خلقت بيدي أستكبرت أم كنت من العالين. O Iblis, O Satan, what prevents you from prostrating to that, to the one whom I have created with both my hands? أستكبرت أم كنت من العالين. Chapter 38, verse 75. Chapter 38, verse 75. Did you, what drove you to that? Is your arrogance, or thinking of yourself to be from those who are high? It's chapter 38, verse 75. So, are you too proud to fall prostrating to Adam, or are you one of the high exalted? So this disdainfulness and arrogance and false pride was the only reason that he deserved to be cursed and dismissed from the mercy of Allah. So Allah commanded فاهبط منها فما يكون لك أن تتكبر فيها فاخرج إنك من الصاغرين. So get down from paradise. It is not for you to be arrogant here. فاخرج إنك من الصاغرين. Get out, for you are of those humiliated and disgraced. He, this wicked, did not submit to his Lord, to Allah, and did not repent to him, but chose to oppose Allah with enmity. And he became firm to take Adam and his children as his enemies. So he said, قال ربي فأنظرني إلى يوم يبعثون. Chapter 38 verse 79. So when Allah said to him, then get out from here, for verily you are outcast. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, and verily my curse is on you till the day of recompense. قَالَ رَبِّ فَأَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Iblis, Satan said, my Lord, give me then respite till the day the dead are resurrected. So that he will give himself time to instigate enmities in Adam, or vis-a-vis Adam and his children and offspring. And since Allah's wisdom necessitated that this Adam, being comprised of certain characteristics, in contrasting characteristics of good moralities or wicked ones, then there was a need to distinguish these moralities and purify them using the means of affliction and testing and trials, amongst which is allowing this enemy, Satan, of calling to every evil as a test and trial and a purification. So Allah responded and gave him respite. He said, verily you are of those allowed respite. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Verily, قال فإنك من المنظرين إلى يوم الوقت المعلوم. Chapter 38 verse 79 and 80 and 81. Verily you are of those allowed respite till the day of the time appointed. So he said to his Lord, to Allah, declaring his disobedience and his enmity to Adam and his offspring, قال فبما أغويتني, look at this, لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. Because you have sent me astray, look, he blamed now his disobedience and his arrogance on Allah. He blamed it on Allah. And he said, because you have sent me astray, surely I will sit in wait against them, meaning Adam and his children, on your straight path. Then I will come to them from before them, from behind them, from their right and from their left, and you will not find most of them as thankful, not dutiful to you, Allah. He said of this thinking that he knew the type of creation of Adam. That's why Allah said in Surah Saba, verse 20. وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ إِلَّا فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, Satan did prove through his thought about them, Adam and his children, and they followed him, except a group of true believers in Allah. So Allah gave him respite in the matter that he wished concerning Adam and his offspring as a test till the day appointed by Allah. So Allah said to him, chapter 17, verses 63 and 64, Brother Abdul Rahman, Barakallahu Fik, قال اذهب فمن تبعك منهم فإن جهنم جزاؤكم جزاء موفورا. Chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra, verse 63-64, said, go, and whoever of them follows you, surely hell will be the recompense of you all, an ample recompense. And befool them gradually, those whom you can among them with your voice, referring to songs, music, and any other cause of Allah's disobedience. Make assaults on them with your cavalry and your infantry. Share with them wealth and children by tempting them to earn money by illegal ways, usually or by committing illegal sexual intercourse. And make promises to them, but Satan promises them nothing but deceit. So if you are able, then let them follow you on these ways of raising up their children, the harmful way, spending their money the harmful way, in the unlawful earning, and share with them the food and drink or the marriage. Those amongst them who don't proclaim the name of Allah in these matters, and also in their wealth and their money and their children, wa'idhum, and promise them to deny the resurrection and deny the resurrection and the recompense, and call them not to forward and hasten to do good, and make them fear your friends and your protectors, and all of that for great wisdoms and secrets known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you, cursed one, be assured that the wicked amongst them, it will be evident for that he will be exposed, and Allah would not care of them, but the special from the offspring of the prophets and their followers, from the true believers, the clean ones, the pure ones, and the true friends of Allah, Allah will not give you any power upon them and authority upon them. Allah will protect them and will supply them with the weapons that you will not be able to resist by their perfect belief and perfect dependence upon Allah. إنه ليس له سلطان على الذين آمنوا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. He, Satan, has no power over those who believe and put their trust only in their Lord Allah. And not only that, Allah helped them to resist this open enemy, Satan, through many ways, inshallah. Amongst these ways, He, the Most High, sent them the books that contains all the beneficial knowledge and admonitions that call them to do what's good and to warn them from doing evil. He sent them the messengers with glad tidings. So whoever, that verse is Surah Al-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 99. He has no power, Satan, over those who believe and put their trust only in Allah, the Lord. Chapter 16, verse 99. So he assisted them also, Allah, by sending the messengers with glad tidings. And anyone who believes in Allah and obeys Him, then they will get the reward. And also warning from disbelief and belying Allah, that they will receive the punishment in this life and the hereafter. And He, Allah, guaranteed for those who follow His guidance that He sent in His books and on the tongue of His messengers, that they will not go astray in this life and they will not receive the hardships in the hereafter, and that they will have no fear upon them. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allah guided them in His books and on the tongues of His messengers for all that they need to protect themselves from their open enemy, and He showed them what this enemy's way or ways whereby He goes hunting for them, and He showed them the way where they be saved from His evil and His fitna, and helped them upon that. That is because when they depended upon Allah, Allah facilitated this process for them. Also, Allah perfected His favors upon Adam, alaykum as-salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And He created from him his wife Hawa, Eve, from his kind, and like him, so that he will have comfort and accommodation with her, and the goals, the many goals arising from marriage and this legal relationship, producing the fruits in the form of the offspring. And told him and his wife, "Inna shaytana, shaytan to you is an enemy, and be careful, extremely careful from him," and warned them not to let you out from paradise where Allah made you reside therein, and He allowed you to eat from all of its fruits, and that you enjoy all of its good things except one testing tree He had forbidden upon them, and said to them, as in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 19, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, and approach not this tree, lest you will be from those who are transgressors. Transgressors. 7:19, yes. And Allah spoke to Adam, telling him about his enjoyment in paradise. إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى. Verily you have a promise from us, from Allah, a promise that you will never be hungry therein nor naked. وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَضْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. And that you suffer not from thirst therein nor from sun's heat. So they stayed in paradise as Allah wished, under these conditions of enjoyment, while their enemy watches them, making plots and waiting for the right opportunity. So when he saw the happiness of Adam, being glad of what Allah put him in paradise, and in his hope and wish to continue therein, then he came to him in the form of a nasih, one who gives advice. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمْ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. And he, Satan, swore by Allah to them both, to Adam and Eve, verily I am one of the sincere well-wishers for you both. So he told him, O Adam, shall I tell you about a tree in paradise? If you eat from it, then you will reside in paradise forever, and the kingdom will be yours that will never go away. Continued whispering, beautifying, tempting them, promising them, giving them these wishes and advice, while it is the greatest deceit, until he was able to seduce them. They ate from the tree that was forbidden upon them by Allah, and when they ate from it, then their private parts became exposed, and they became trying to cover it by the leaves of that in paradise. So they fell in his trap and became manifested the consequence of their disobedience, as in chapter 7 verse 22 Allah said, وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. And their Lord Allah called them, didn't I forbid you that tree? And I told you that Shaitan is an open enemy for both of you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled their hearts with repentance, seeking him for that and truly and honestly. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah then, Adam then received from his Lord words of repentance, that Allah repented. Allah accepted his repentance when they said, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. O Allah, we have wronged ourselves. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. And if you don't forgive us. وَتَرْحَمْنَا. And have mercy upon us. لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We will be surely amongst the losers. فَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا. Allah accepted their repentance and forgave them. However, the matter which he cautioned them against and warned them against is to pass, meaning that they have to leave the paradise. So they were sent down to earth, which is mixed. The earth upon which its good is mixed with evil, and its happiness with its sadness and sorrows. And Allah informed them that He is they will be tested, them and their offspring, and that any of them who believes from the offspring and do righteous deeds, then his end will be a good one, a better than the one that he started. And the one who belies and turns away, then his end will be wickedness and eternal punishment. And he warned his children and offspring, Ya Bani Adama, chapter 7:27, please, Abdul Rahman, Brother Abdul Rahman, chapter 7:27, Ya Bani Adama, لا يفتننكم الشيطان يا بني آدم أو children of Adam, let not شيطان Satan deceive you كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة, as he got your parents Adam and Hawa Eve out of paradise. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Stripping them of their raiments, ينزع عنهما لباسهما ليريهما سوآتهما, to show them their private parts. إنه يراكم هو وقبيله, verily he and his soldiers from the jinn or his tribe see you from where you cannot see them. Verily we made devils protectors and helpers for those who believe not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced that raiment with this apparent beauty in this life, and that is the beauty of taqwa, of fear and piety of Allah, which is the raiment of the heart and the soul, having faith in Allah and sincerity, turning to Him and aiming to achieve the good moral characters and to shun away all that which is bad and evil. Then from them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought many men and women and dispersed them on earth and made them successors, generations successing those before them, so to see as what they will do. From the benefits deducted from this story, there are basic fundamental matters as well as matters related to morality and etiquette. First of all, this great story of Adam, Allah has mentioned it in His book in many places, clear and without any doubt. It's from the greatest narrations that is agreed upon by the messengers and sent down in the revelations and believed by all the followers of the prophets from the first and the last ones. Secondly, it speaks of the merits of knowledge, and that the angels, when it came apparent to them the merit of Adam and his virtues by the knowledge that Allah bestowed upon him, they knew his perfection and that he deserves respect, and from it anyone whom Allah bestows knowledge upon him, and anyone whom Allah bestows upon him from the knowledge, then he should confess and make this the favor of Allah known, and say as the angels have said, قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا. Glory be to you, O Allah, the one free of all imperfection. We have no knowledge except that which you taught us. And that he should be keen not to say things which he does not know, because knowledge is from the great favors, and being grateful for that favor is to confess to Allah for this favor and praising him for it by teaching it to others and to abide by that which Allah taught the slave, and to keep silent as that which he doesn't know. And from the benefits of this story, But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a lesson that envy and haughtiness and greediness and covetousness are from the worst of moralities and dangers upon the slave. قال الحافظ ابن القيم رحمه الله Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said, the bases of sins are three. The bases of sins are three. And let's write them down because they are very relevant to the story. Number one, let's see the bases. The bases of sin are three. Number one, al-kibr. Al-kibr, arrogance. This is what drove, this is what drove Iblis to that which he became. Arrogance. Second, al-hirs. Al-hirs, which means to covet things. Alaykum as-salam rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Covet justness. And this is which brought Adam and Eve from Al-Jannah. And the third, Al-Hasad. Envy. And this is which drove one of the children of Adam to kill his brother. Anyone who is saved from these three, then he has been saved from evil. For kufr, disbelief, stems from arrogance. And disobedience stems from covetousness. And transgression stems from envy. These are the words of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. And that the slave of Allah should, if he commits a sin, should resort to immediate recognition of it and repentance, and remember what his father Adam said, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. O Allah, we have wronged ourselves, and if you don't forgive us and have mercy upon us, we will be from the losers. Allah didn't tell us of their story except that we benefit from that and apply it and manifest it so that we achieve true happiness and be saved from destruction. And Allah didn't tell us of what the shaitan, the devil, Satan, plotted to do against us and his affirmation to sway us from the path of Allah in all means, except that we be ready to oppose this enemy. And Allah loves from us that we resist him by all means that we are able to do. And thus, the one who builds the fortresses of dhikr from the authentic sunnah and from the belief, strong belief, and the strength of tawakkul upon Allah, dependence upon Allah, and from the eagerness to resist the devil and his whisperings and his bad thoughts which he wants to inject in our hearts, all these are from the means to stand up for our enemy. And also from the benefits is that there is evidence for Ahl Sunnah, those who affirm to Allah what He affirmed for Himself from the names and attributes. Meaning affirming the attributes of hands of Allah, and that they are both with which He had created Adam with, explicitly stated, and that they are true hands fitting His majesty and unlike that of anything else, because Allah says لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing is like unto Him, yet He affirmed for Himself this attribute of His essence. These are the benefits from this story and the story of Adam. My reference is the great book by Al-Imam Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di, the great scholar of Tafsir and Fiqh. Who died in 1376 of Hijrah, and he is renowned for his great tafsir known as Tafsir Ibn Sa'di, and for his great ability which Allah bestowed upon him of deducting many benefits from the same text. He has many books and treatises, and he is the Shaykh of our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy be upon both of them, upon and all the scholars of Islam. This book is known as Qasas al-Anbiya. Qasas al-Anbiya, the stories of the prophets. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, reward the Shaykh for this excellent book of his, which really is in the hands of most of the students of knowledge, concerning the, as a good reference regarding the stories of the prophets. Of course, there is the classical book by Imam Ibn Kathir about the stories of the prophets, and that's another excellence on its own. If you have any question, please you can take the mic or write the text. This concludes our chapter for tonight. So if you have any question related to it, please you may take the mic for those who want to do so, or put it in the text.